Welcome to Legislative Report, and joining me today is Lancaster County Representative Brian Cutler. Representative Cutler, what steps has the General Assembly taken to protect victims of child sexual assault in light of the recent grand jury report on such abuse within Pennsylvania's Catholic Church?
Well, obviously, I think it goes without saying that we were all shocked by the details of that report as it was released from the Attorney General. However, the protections that have been consistently put in place over the last several years by the General Assembly actually started prior to this. It actually started with the Jerry Sandusky investigation and the Child Protection Task Force. There were over 20 bills that were introduced at that time, many of which became law. And that changed a variety of things that they had recommended in terms of who were mandatory reporters, those individuals who were required to report to law enforcement if cases of suspected child abuse. It made changes to the actual system. We've also updated the adoption policies and processes so that we can move individuals within the system once they're already there. And this most recent report, though, unfortunately highlights a continued problem with issues within the system that Senate Bill 261 seeks to address. That is a bill that passed the Senate overwhelmingly. It's currently in the House, and it would deal with individuals who were involved in cases such as those that were detailed in the report, but specifically with statute of limitations. I think the most egregious and disturbing part of it was not only were the cases known and not reported, but they were deliberately hidden. And I think that really strikes to the conscience of the overall approach. And the argument is that individuals who should or could be prosecuted under the law certainly should be. And we'd like to see that going forward. There's also the question of how long does that happen, and how do you balance the rights of the accused and the opportunity to a fair trial and the access to evidence with the window of time thereafter. We have previously extended the time frame when someone can come forward. This would seek to open it up indefinitely going forward. So if you were abused as a child, you could do it 10, 20, 30 years later. If that was when you decided to come forward. I think one of the other issues, though, is since the cases were deliberately hidden, I think we should also take a look at those cases of essentially criminal conspiracy and perhaps look at treating them similar to how we do medical malpractice cases. That's the world that I came from where, you know, in cases like that, sometimes you're not able to find out about things until much later. And in this case, the evidence was hidden, not readily available. And perhaps we should look at counting the time of when something can happen just like that. It goes without saying that it's very disturbing. And unfortunately, our laws will continue to need to be updated in order to handle this. The one area of concern is the idea of retroactivity. Our courts have consistently held that a statute of limitations, in other words, you can't be prosecuted after a certain period of time, has been deemed to be a vested right here. So if you're outside that window, that statute of limitations, then that's a vested right. And it's treated like all other vested rights here in the Commonwealth. At least that's how the court cases have treated it previously. And most folks are familiar with the idea of the ex post facto clause in the Constitution. In other words, we can't go back in time and make something in the past now illegal and prosecute you for it. This is an extension of that same kind of doctrine. And it does cause some legal concerns. In fact, when the task force made all their recommendations, that was the one reason they did not recommend a retroactivity clause, was because questions of evidence and what would happen there, as well as questions of constitutionality. Because I think that giving individuals who have unfortunately went through this the false hope that this would somehow correct their situation to then only have it possibly thrown out on essentially a technicality of constitutionality going forward, I think is a huge disservice to them. I think the other component of the bill that a lot of folks so far have missed, because everybody seems to be focusing on the retroactivity, is also the lifting of the sovereign immunity, which means governmental entities that previously have not been sued would now be able to be sued, and their taxpayers for those entities would be held responsible for that. I think that has the potential to have a huge impact on some locales because we've all seen the reports of cases of sexual abuse by teachers as well, or other school officials, or individuals such as prison guards. And in each of those cases, this bill would also apply to them, where you have a position of someone in power who perhaps works for a local or state government. And in those cases, the taxpayers would then also be liable civilly for those cases. That will also be an impact that needs to be considered in this bill. There's some discuss of should we have a victims fund created to fund those cases so as to not disproportionately impact singular taxpayers in one area. I think all of that will be on the table as we go forward in terms of possible amendments or discussions for any of the bills. And I think it will continue into the fall session.
This is the Labor Day holiday weekend. What does Labor Day mean to you?
Well, I think that Labor Day means a lot of things. Unfortunately, I think as in with many of our holidays, the original meaning has been lost. When you look at Labor Day and its roots, it really was a celebration of the working class and specifically the unions and their contributions to society. It was a declared holiday for this time of the year. But for me, it really means a time to thank all of the hardworking individuals, whether union or non-union, that make our country great and the contributions they make to our communities on a daily basis. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank them. Individuals that I've personally had interaction with in my own life would be our local police and fire and EMS providers, our teachers, our individuals who work in each and every capacity. They make our community great, and that's what makes our area as wonderful as it is.
Representative Cutler, thank you for being with us on Legislative Report.